I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting of June 20th, 2019 at 5:30 p.m. to commence. David, can you please call roll?
Commissioner Pearson?
Present.
Commissioner Noland?
Present.
Commissioner Wong?
Here.
Chair Pro Tem Smith?
Here.
Chair Nerschel?
And I am here. Thank you.
Record show that we have a quorum.
Perfect. And then Commissioner Smith, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Thank you. If you're able, please rise. It'll be followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'll turn to staff at this point. Any introductions?
No introductions, Chair.
Additions and deletions to the agenda?
Do have a couple of deletions. In furtherance of the Sunshine Ordinance transparency provisions, staff is removing from the agenda items 5 and 6. On item 5, the applicant is in concurrence, from what we understand, with removing that item. On item 6, there's no real urgency. That's a staff agendized item, and we can easily agendize that for July 18th meeting.
Okay, and just to be clear, do you want me to introduce those items in their current agenda item spot or just skip over them?
What's the best course, City Attorney?
So one of them is a public hearing item. My recommendation would be to open the public hearing and then continue that over to a date certain.
Do we need to take a vote on it, or would we just continue at that point?
You would need
okay.
to take a vote.
Excellent, thank you. And David, this public comment, this is a general public comment?
That's correct.
Okay. Susan Sayre, please approach.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Susan Sayre, and I've lived in Irvine for decades. Honesty, transparency, accountability, they are great goals for Irvine City Government, aren't they? Irvine Sunshine Ordinance was created to provide members of the public as well as the City Council and Commission decision makers with 12 days notice on agenda items to allow time to thoroughly study and respond to the agenda items and related documents. Business items that arise unpredictably and have an exigent need for decisions on the matter prior to the following meeting can be added to the agenda with 5 days' notice, thereby creating a supplemental agenda. Unfortunately, added supplemental agenda items are being used to circumvent the Sunshine Ordinance 12-day notice period without providing unpredicted, exigent, or emergency need for a decision on the matter before the following commission or city council meeting. Circumventing the 12-day notice requirement has an adverse impact on transparency, on public transparency in the city's decision-making process, and on the council and commission members having sufficient time to research the new items. Thus, circumventing the mandated 12-day notice period adversely impacts the city's decision-making process. The fact that the city program directors and city managers authorize the inappropriate use of supplemental agenda makes them complicit in the violation of the provisions of the Sunshine Ordinance and thus the subversion of the city decision-making process. City Council and Commission members who participate in the discussion of these items without objection are also complicit. I'm putting you on notice that I am tracking supplemental agendas. You all will get one of my tracking so far. And their added items. I'm noting the items that remain on the agendas without meeting the exigent circumstances requirement of the Sunshine Ordinance for the Planning Commission, Transportation Commission, and the City Council, and I might add also for the Great Park Board. I plan to submit periodic reports to the City Manager and to the City Council. Mr. Garrick, I thank you very, you and Mr. Carmichael, for your clarification of added agenda items and of the added substantive modification item and for continuing agenda items 5 and 6. I approve of discussing item 3 as the added modification is a response to public concerns and the delay would have an adverse impact on the project, thereby justifying the 5-day notice period. I also approve of the added item 7 because selecting a vice chair of the Planning Commission is necessary for the functioning of the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for bringing to our attention the Sunshine Ordinance again. We appreciate it. Greg Johnson.
Thank you. My name is Greg Johnson. I live on La Serena in the Rancho San Joaquin area. I am not here about a specific proposal because there isn't one at this point, but I have heard that there's discussion of rezoning a parcel possibly along Ethel Copeland Way for more than 100 units. If such a dramatic rezoning request were to be made, I would like the Planning Commission to embrace the logic that last year led this body and the City Council to embrace and reaffirm the general plan and zoning code designation for Rancho San Joaquin. The language in the City Council's unanimous resolution last year should hold if such a rezoning request were to be made with a property on Ethel Copeland Way. Simply substitute recreation facility for golf course and you'll have the clear and appropriate statement that should be made. It would read, the current general plan and zoning code designations for the property on Ethel Copeland Way accurately and appropriately reflects the values of the community and the Planning Commission's vision and intent for the development of that property. As such, the Planning Commission has no intent to amend the general plan and or zoning code to allow for a change in allowable uses on or development of the property in question. And again, I understand there's no proposal before you, but I would like to see that the general plan and zoning remains as you embraced it last year. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate it. Sandra Cox.
Hi, my name is Sandy Cox. I've lived in Irvine for the last 40 years, and I want to impress upon you how important it is to keep our recreational areas that were proposed in the original plans to be met. And that includes Rancho San Joaquin Golf Course and Racquet Club of Irvine. I'm going to speak for the members of Racquet Club of Irvine, of which I am one, and we are very distressed over the possibility of losing our tennis club, as you can imagine. It's offered so much quality of health and benefit to so many of us, and we are really hoping that you do not rezone it for building more apartments, more congestion, more traffic. It's really imperative to us, just as Rancho San Joaquin was held for no rezoning for building another 3-story apartment building. We do not want to lose this property. If Mr. Spearman, who owns 3 tennis clubs, is so intent on selling, which we've heard, for $50 million, then I think he should start looking for people who want to stay in the business of owning a tennis club. And so I'm asking you on behalf of the members at Racquet Club of Irvine that the zoning remain for recreational use and not for apartments. Thank you.
Thank you for those thoughts. Diana, and I see you have the same issue that you'd like to speak on. And if it's similar to what the other two speakers raised for our attention, you can also just affirm what they said.
Yes, I have affirmed, and I would like to add to what they have also said. I'm also an Irvine resident for 38 plus years, and I'm also here to keep the zoning as is for recreational. Racquet Club of Irvine is an asset to our city of Irvine. The amenities, the tennis, the fitness center, swimming pool, professional lessons, and after-school programs, and summer and year-round camps for children, these are the things that make a community what makes Irvine so desirable and sought after. RCI is also home to the world-renowned Advantage Tennis and Learning Academy, one of the foremost tennis academies in the country. Children ages 5 through 18 come from around the world to learn and to play tennis at RCI. They go to school at the academy at RCI, which offers over 300 courses and is fully accredited. The Advantage Learning Academy is internationally known for its college prep. Many students travel from abroad, often with their parents, to study and to live here in Irvine. RCI hosts many national tournaments throughout the year. RCI is the first and only private tennis fitness facility in Irvine. What Racquet Club of Irvine offers is unparalleled. It is one of the strongest assets for our city. It would be an irresponsible act to take such a vibrant and integral part of our city and turn it into housing. It's zoned for recreation, and it's here serving our city for recreation, education, and community involvement. RCI has been and needs to continue to be one of Irvine's greatest assets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Judith.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for the opportunity to speak. And the last name is Judith, or first name is Judith, last name is Gass, for the record. I, too, am here just to talk about the potential of the rezoning and the application by KB Homes for the RCI property. And it's my understanding that these applications don't come to commissions first, that they go to City Council, and then the City Council gives direction to staff to investigate. But what I'm here tonight is to ask you as commissioners, as appointees of our city council members, that you work with the city council to support our general plan. There's a reason why this was zoned recreational property. There's clearly benefits to the community at large, not just to Irvine. There are residents or people that live outside of Irvine that visit the tennis club. So it's really important that we support the general plan and stick to the zoning that is appropriate for this property. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, so that'll push us into commission business. Actually, real quick, David, I just want to check, since we did have quite a few speakers, were there any other speakers in the queue? Okay. So that brings us into commission business. I will seek a motion to adopt the minutes.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the minutes.
Second, Mr. Chair.
So I have Commissioner Smith who made the motion, and then we have Commissioner Pearson who seconded the motion to adopt the minutes from the May 16th, 2019 meeting. Let's go ahead and vote.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, David. All right. That brings us into the public hearings portion, and I'll turn to staff to introduce item number 2.
Thank you, Chair Nerschel. This is a vesting tentative tract map for Blue Bay Condominiums located at 2602 McGaw Avenue in Planning Area 36, the Irvine Business Complex. Stephanie Ferrady, Senior Planner, will provide the staff report on this.
Good evening, Chair Nerschel and Commissioners. As stated, this item is for a vesting tentative tract map located in the Irvine Business Complex. Specifically, the project site is shown with the blue symbol. It's located mid-block between Darien and Jamboree on McGaw. A brief project overview. This is a 1.93-acre site with 120 attached condo units comprised of 175 residents. A traffic impact analysis and transfer of development rights were involved, as well as an affordable housing plan. The entitlement history for the site was back in October of 2016. The Planning Commission reviewed the project I just discussed, and they approved a vesting tentative tract map or condo map. They approved a conditional use permit as described, as well as a park plan. Then 2 years after that, in October 2018, the track map expired, and a time extension may not be issued for an expired map. As such, the applicant was advised, in order to proceed with the project for condos, they must process a new map. That map is before you tonight. The conditional use permit and park plan that were previously approved remain valid through October 20th, 2019. The circumstances in the area remain consistent with the 2016 approval. Conditions placed on the map's 2016 approval are sufficient and comprehensive, and the new map approval is subject to those same conditions. Issuance of this new map approval would provide the applicant with some additional time to record the final map excuse me, for the 100-unit, 20-unit development, as well as well as complete the building permit phase. Previously this month, the application went before the subdivision committee, and that committee recommended conditions of approval for the proposed map, which are included in your resolution. In conclusion, staff recommends the Planning Commission adopt Resolution 19-3738, approving vesting tentative track map 17997 for the Blue Bay condominiums. That concludes my presentation. I'm available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. I'll receive public input, and looks like we have Tim Strader, the applicant, who are speaking on behalf of the applicant that would like to approach, please.
Good evening, Chair Nerschel, members of the Planning Commission. Tim Strader with Starpoint Ventures on behalf of Natura City, the property owner. And as Stephanie mentioned, the project was approved about 2.5 years ago, and unfortunately there's a disconnect in time between the validity of a map and the validity of a CUP. So the CUP is still valid, but be able to develop the project for residential condominiums, it's important and necessary to have a tentative map for condominium purposes. The project was approved under the 15,000 unit cap in the IBC, and so approval of the map does not change anything as it relates to the project already being approved under the cap. So we urge your approval and here to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thanks for that. At this point, I'll go ahead and turn to my colleagues here and see if we have any comments. Well, I let my commissioners take a second to get their thoughts together. I'll go ahead and jump in. So I'll just address these to the applicant. I think it's probably the easiest if you wouldn't mind approaching. The land use from the condominium rental to condominium, that's pretty much the only change that we're looking at, right?
No, it was always envisioned as a condominium. But as stated in the staff report, the project could still be built today as an apartment without a map, but it needs the map to be able to be built as condominiums, which was always the plan.
Perfect, yeah. I mean, to me, it's not that material because they both have the same land use type effect. So I didn't see that as being a big issue, but that clarification helps, and I do appreciate it. I know you stated this earlier, but how long is the CUP valid for?
It'll go until October. The developer is in the plan check and permit process right now. Part of the reason for the delay was they changed some structural components to the building, changing steel to concrete and vice versa. So it's taken some additional time to get through the plan check process, but they're in the process currently.
Okay, no, I get that. Thank you. That's all I have. Commissioner Pearson.
Yeah, Tim, I just wanted to verify either through you or through staff that there are no material changes in the map as it was presented and approved prior.
No changes at all. The conditions are identical. The map's identical. It was purely because of the expiration that it had to be a new map as opposed to an extension of a map like we did on some of the other projects, Garden Communities. There have been a few others where before the two-year period expired, we came in and did an extension ahead of time. In this case, it had already expired, so it has to be a new map, but it's identical.
So this is a perfunctory type of an approval based upon a timing issue, and we do have drawings and specifications in the building department now?
That's correct.
And the intention is to, once approved and a permit is pulled, to move forward with it.
That's what I'm told by the property owners, that they fully intend to move forward. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Pearson. Seeing no further comments, I'll go ahead and hear a motion.
I have a question.
It got pulled off in my queue over here. Commissioner Juan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This question is for staff. Ms. Frady, you mentioned in your presentation there are 175 residents in this project. Is that correct?
Yes.
How is that the maximum allowable, or is that the estimated?
That was just based on our general plan rates.
Okay. I just haven't saw that figure, so that was the first time. No further question.
Thank you for that. Do we have any further comments? Looks like we covered it here, so I'll entertain a motion at this time.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve tentative tract map number 17997 for the Blue Bay condominiums.
And I'll second that.
And Commissioner Juan seconded the item, so we had Commissioner Pearson move the item. Commissioner Juan seconded the item. Let's go ahead and vote.
Motion passes 5-0.
And then just bear with me. My cue isn't showing speakers, so if you kind of want to announce it, I think that'd help for my... Okay, so we'll go ahead and move to item 3 here, and I'll look to staff to introduce the item.
Thank you, Chair Nurschel. This is a vesting tentative tract map 19004 for Neighborhood 1 of Planning Area 1, Orchard Hills. Stephanie Frady will provide this staff report as well.
Thank you again. Planning Area 1, Orchard Hills, is comprised of residential development in 4 different neighborhoods. Neighborhood 1 is situated in the northwestern section of Orchard Hills, northeast of Furrow and Leafy Pass. Adjacent land uses include orchards to the east and west, additional residences in Neighborhood 1 to the south, and a water retention basin to the north. A number of tract maps have been recorded over the specific section of Neighborhood 1. The full history of this site is detailed in your staff report. The subject map before you tonight replaces VTTM 18090, which was approved by the Planning Commission in July of 2017. The site comprises 62.5 acres, and the layout would allow for the future development of 277 detached single-family homes. I'd like to note that this is a net increase of 41 units over the last approved vesting tentative tract map. However, all 41 of the new units and the existing proposed units are within the dwelling unit cap for Planning Area 1. They'll just be moved over from Neighborhood 4 to Neighborhood 1. The density of the site would be 4.4 units per acre, which is below the zoning allowances. And residential master plans over this tract map will be processed separately and will come before this commission at a later date. Regarding traffic, a traffic memorandum dated June 2019 analyzed the impacts of the 41 additional units proposed for this tract, and no impacts were identified. Staff also wants to note that we received correspondence related to school traffic impacts. In response to this correspondence, transportation staff and public safety met to go over the concerns that were raised in the correspondence. All of the items we received were transmitted to you under an errata last week. Additionally, the subdivision committee had a chance to review the proposed VTTM and recommended Planning Commission approval with conditions that are within your resolution. To conclude, staff recommends adoption of Planning Commission Resolution 19-3741, approving vesting tentative tract map 19004. This concludes my presentation.
Thank you for that. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing, and it looks like we have Jeff Davis, if you'd like to come forward and...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Jeff Davis on behalf of the Irvine Company. Me and my team are here to answer questions the commission might have, so we're just prepared to respond to anything that might come up.
Great, thank you. I don't want to cut you off too early. Did you have any? Did you want to go over the project at all, or you just want to let them?
No, I think I think Stephanie did a pretty good job of explaining the whole. And this is the iterative phase of the subdivision map phase. And I think in terms of product and things, we'll be back to the commission with site-specific master plans for the actual product. But this is just the subdivision map portion of the applications.
Great, thank you. And seeing no further comments, or anybody from the public who would like to speak, I'll go ahead and move to my commissioners and see if we have any comments queued up. I'll go ahead and jump in there. So I want to look at the traffic issue a little bit, so I'm going to kind of get in there. So the modification to the map, that will generate a small increase in traffic, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what is the
increase?
That increase?
It's 22 a.m. during a.m. peak hour, 42 during p.m. peak hour, and on a daily basis, 391 trips.
Okay. Now, these trips, to accommodate that,
Chenal 41 units.
Yeah, and so, as I understand, they're being shifted from a nearby area, but it's still within the general planning area.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and how far away, where exactly are these shifts, are these trips coming from?
It's from neighborhood 4. I'm not sure if Jennifer has Stephanie has a picture of it, of the planning areas, so we can show it on the aerial.
Well, she looks at that. I have another question, so I'll jump into that real quick.
Okay.
And give you some time to see if we can find that. But even so, even with the added trip, or obviously the trips, the intensity is accounted for in the trips being shifted over, but also there's no defective traffic or circulatory issues that arise because of this.
That's correct.
So on two levels, essentially, it's sufficient.
Yes.
Both in pure intensity and then an actual level of service.
Exactly.
Okay. And as I understand, there has been some concerns with that specific localized school area, the nearby proximity. In your opinion, can you summarize maybe what's causing these issues or what's leading to this?
I will let Sansan to explain that to you because we have had a meetings and she can explain the discussion with the police and the city traffic engineer. But it's basically, all I can tell you is during the a.m. morning peak, when everyone is dropping off their kids, they're using the adjacent park to drop off their children and they turn around and exit Settler and they leave. And during the morning, everyone from residences are leaving the site. So the conflict is only during short period of time, which we have the same issue at all the schools in Irvine during like 15, 20 minutes of drop-off in the morning. It's not during the afternoon peak because the school peak is different than the peak hour we analyze. It's only in the morning. That these complaints have come in is like during the morning when residences are leaving their home to go to work and then parents are dropping off their kids. So it's a typical school traffic issue.
So the issue was existing before this modification.
Yes.
And the subdivision by itself, the way that it's kind of divided, that won't necessarily exacerbate the issue.
No, it's not.
Okay.
And I think Sansan will have more information. No, that's fine.
No more information on that.
Thank you very much. The issue is during the morning
and
drop-off, which we have similar issues at every school in Irvine. I mean, or every school in
everywhere. Parents want to drop their kids off. It makes sense.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't want to get too, you know, outside of what I think this agenda item, the scope of our review is here. I think, and I'll let the other commissioners kind of speak on this, but at least from my perspective, you know, the map before us I don't think is of consequence to this issue. But if the applicant is willing or the city, you know, if there's some kind of solution to help alleviate this issue, I think it's worth our time to kind of look at. It is, you know, at least tangentially related, so I'll go ahead and leave it to my commissioners and see how you guys feel. Commissioner Pearson?
Mic is on. I've gone through and looked at this, and like you've said, Mr. Chairman, in your questioning, a lot of my answers have been taken care of. This is not an issue of the map itself creating the problem. It's an issue of the overall master plan. But I do have one question. In the ultimate build-out, will this condition still arise? Ultimate build-out of this plant, these planning areas. This is just a part of one map out of the area.
Sansan will respond to that.
Mic is on. Sansan Murillo with Transportation Department. The school is actually, the attendance of the school, the number of students at the school is very near build out currently. It is a Tustin Unified School District site, and at this time, a lot of the students that are attending that school are actually coming from the west. As the build out of the residential units along this loop of Culver Drive, as they start to get built, many of the students from the residential development will be attending the school. So it may be just a different mix of students coming and going to the school. But ultimately, the school today is at build out, so the amount of traffic that's out there today is likely to continue as it is today in the future.
Okay, so if you're going to potentially eliminate the traffic coming in and have the adjacent mapped areas attend that school, then a presumption would be you would have less parental delivery of children to the school. Would that be a good assumption?
It is one assumption, but what we've seen in city traffic engineer, who's not here tonight but may have a little more information on, what she might say is that it's a matter of kids being dropped off from their residence straight out into the public street onto Portola versus coming from a different direction, going onto the site and coming back out again.
Okay, that gives me clarity. Thank you. I'm fine.
Okay, and I think that just kind of resonates with me that these are two distinct issues here. And as much as I think, I know I personally will follow up and see if there's some sort of solution on, you know, from a public works side or from, you know, the applicant might be interested in a separate capacity to look at this. I just don't think it falls within this item. So with that being said, seeing no further requests to speak, I'll go ahead and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, is the public hearing closed?
I'll go ahead and close the public hearing at this point and entertain a motion.
If it is, then I will move the adoption of Resolution 19-3741.
And I'll go ahead and second the motion that Commissioner Smith just moved, as stated. Do we have any comments on the item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and vote.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, David. All right, I'll look to staff to introduce item number 4, please.
Thank you, Chair Nerschel. This is a vesting tentative tract map, 18140, an associated master plan in neighborhood 5B of planning area 6, Portola Springs. Stephanie Frady will provide the staff report on this item too.
Thank you, commissioners. The subject aerial shows the project site. It's located just south of Portola Parkway in planning area 6. It's one of the lots within the larger vesting tentative tract map that was approved 2 years ago at the Planning Commission. To Tonight's proposed application includes a tract map to further subdivide roughly 10.4 acres of land in neighborhood 5B for the development of 59 residential dwelling units. The map plans for clusters of four dwelling units situated around private courts. Access to tract 18140 will be provided via two private streets off of Big Dipper. The proposed density of this tract is 5.7 units per acre, which is less than the 12.5 units per acre allowed by the underlying zoning. The 59 units are within the dwelling cap for Planning Area 6 and were previously contemplated as part of the approval of the underlying AMAP for this neighborhood. This slide shows some potential renderings of the proposed residences within the master plan. Of those 59 detached condos, the size will range from 2,087 to 2,172 square feet. All units will have 3 bedrooms and 2.5 bathrooms. One item is requested. Administrative relief is requested for wall height, as will be discussed. The application includes administrative relief for wall height. Walls within the tract will exceed the maximum wall height allowed per code, which is 6 feet. They're planned up to 7.5 feet in height with 8.5 foot high pilasters. Staff has reviewed this request and determined there's sufficient justification to support administrative relief. Findings to allow increased wall height may be found in the Planning Commission resolution for the master plan. This map was also seen by the subdivision committee earlier this month. The committee recommended approval of the proposed VTTM with conditions. In conclusion, staff recommends Planning Commission adoption of resolutions numbers 19-3739 and 19-3740, approving vesting tentative tract map 18140 and the associated master plan. I'm available for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing and I'll receive public input. Jeff Davis, please come forward.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Davis on behalf of the Irvine Company. On this application, while Stephanie did outline all of the particulars of the application before you this evening, I did want to take the opportunity to expand a little bit, seeing that there are some relatively new commissioners that maybe don't have some of the additional background associated with the development in the Portola Springs community. And that is that the Portola Springs community, amongst others in the northern part of the city, including Orchard Hills, Stonegate, Woodbury, Cypress Village, are all part of a major comprehensive development program that was approved, so the so-called Northern Sphere Development Program in 2000. That comprehensive plan also included a overall transportation mitigation program, the so-called NITM program, wherein the Irvine Company and other parties to that agreement with the city agreed to pay for, identify and then pay for certain major infrastructure improvements, not only in the vicinity of the project, but as to any of the impacts associated with the development in that overall area. In addition to that, again, on a comprehensive basis, we were able to deal with some things that were important to the city at the time, including the Community Parks Master Plan. I think most of you are familiar with the Portola Springs Community Park that was opened not too long ago as one of the park programs in that overall comprehensive plan that dealt with the requirements for the totality of the Northern Sphere. Our affordable housing program, the Master Affordable Housing Program, also in advance of residential development in the marketplace, has provided the required number of affordable units on several locations throughout the Northern Sphere. And finally, there's a note in the staff report relative to visitability, which is a term that was created when Commissioner Anthony Dragon, those of you might remember, was leading a campaign to make sure that in addition to typical ADA requirements that aren't necessarily applicable to all residential units, we were going to try very hard and diligently to accomplish the visitability goals that were outlined in the staff report, such that people could get to front doors, could get into front doors, could access powder rooms or bathrooms downstairs, had an access point to the unit, and then allowed for universal design as part of a voluntary program that we put into place with that overall program. And again, by way of context, because those items were there, I didn't know if there was going to be any questions on those, but I wanted to highlight those. And then again, the team's here to answer any specific questions you might have on the master plans before you this evening. And with that, I'll be ready to answer any questions.
Thank you for that. I'll go ahead and look to my commissioners at this point. Commissioner Juan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have one quick question. I'm not familiar with the term detached condo. How is that different between a detached condo and a single family unit?
Excuse me, Commissioner Wong, if you're familiar with the motor court product that we have in the Northern Sphere, where you drive in and there's four different or maybe six different units along a motor court, those are actually all on a single lot. So all four or six of those units are in condominiums. But in an effort to get four-sided architecture, not to have common walls, we basically just separated those buildings. So while they're a condominium on a condominium lot, they're actually a detached building.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Juan. Seeing no further comments, do we have anything over here? So we'll go ahead and close the public hearing and I'll entertain a motion. I'll go ahead and move the item as stated.
Second.
Okay, so the chairman moved the item, Commissioner Smith seconded. And seeing no further public comments, we'll go ahead and vote.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thanks, David. All right, so that brings us to item 5. I'll look to staff to introduce the item in the errata.
Thank you, Chair Nerschel. This is a vesting tentative tract map 19007 and master plan modification in Development District 5 North of Great Park Neighborhoods in Planning Area 51. As I had stated earlier, staff is looking to move this item to the July 18th Planning Commission meeting in light of this landing on a supplemental agenda and not meeting the strict provisions of the Sunshine Ordinance relative to the posting of the agenda 12 days in advance. The applicant is in concurrence with moving this item, so we would recommend as such for the Planning Commission to take that action.
Thank you for that. Seeing no public comments, I'll go ahead and I'll see if we have any comments on the item first. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing and...
Hold on, just point of order. If you want to continue to a date certain, that public hearing needs to be open. It needs to remain open.
Okay. That makes sense. But I can have the hearing open while we make a vote. Okay. Well, that's news to me. Thank you for the patience on that. So we'll go ahead and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we continue this item to July 18th. 2019.
I'll go ahead and second that. So Commissioner Pearson made the motion. I seconded to continue the item. Seeing no further comments, let's go ahead and vote.
Motion passes 5-0.
All right. That puts us to commission business here. Again, I'll look to staff to introduce item 6 and the corresponding errata.
Chair Nerschel, this is a municipal code update related to correction period and notice requirements for municipal code and zoning code violations. Since this is a municipal code amendment, it does not formally require Planning Commission action. However, we take these forward as an informational item to the Commission because they're usually tied with a zoning ordinance amendment. In this instance, again, it landed on a supplemental agenda that did not meet the 12-day requirement of the Sunshine Ordinance. There's no critical urgency that the Planning Commission take action on this tonight, so we are recommending that this be continued to July 18th as well.
I'll go ahead and open the public hearing, and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we move this agenda item number 6 to July 18th, 2019.
And I'll second as the maker of the motion stated. Seeing no further comments on the item, let's go ahead and vote.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you for that, David. That brings us to the final item of tonight's agenda. This is item 7, selection of the vice chair. What we'll do is we'll call for nominations first, and then I guess we'll vote sequentially. Is that typically the approach from a procedural? Okay.
Yes.
So at this time, I'll call for nominations, and while I have the microphone, I'll go ahead and make a nomination for Commissioner Smith to hold that position. I know that I've benefited from his leadership and from his, you know, long tenure and experience, both, you know, in the substantive and the procedure of things, and I definitely trust him to lead us where we need to go. Do we have any further motions?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second that motion.
Thank you for that. Seeing no further comments, let's go ahead and vote.
Motion carries 5-0.
After that nomination, I almost didn't vote there. I was going to make you earn it while I had you. And I'll look to staff to see if we have any additional staff reports.
Just one item, Chair Nerschel and Commission. I just wanted to add a little context to the public comments that you heard earlier in the evening regarding the Racquet Club site. Just as a point of information, staff did receive a general plan amendment application for that site to change the general plan designation of the property from recreation to multifamily residential for approximately 123 additional residential units on top of the existing general plan intensity caps. We have just received the application. Like I said, we're going undertaking an initial review. We will be before the City Council for an initial general plan scoping session, probably late summer, early August timeframe. And I'll keep you apprised as that application moves through the process.
Perfect, we appreciate the context. Planning commissioners, do we have any reports?
I just have a question. Is that for the golf course site or is that for the Racquet Club site?
It's actually for the Racquet Club site.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. And planning commissioners, do we have any additional reports? Commissioner Pearson.
I just have one question. We have taken our pro tem and moved him into vice chairman. Do we need to have a pro tem?
No, I'm just kidding. Let's look to staff on that and get guidance.
I think the bylaws call for the Planning Commission to have a pro tem, so yes, I think we probably need to head in that direction. I'm guessing it probably needs to be agendized.
It does.
So we will make sure that lands on the next agenda on July 18th.
Commissioner Pearson, just kidding. Okay. I'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting to the next regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. I believe we're skipping the first meeting in July. What date is our next meeting?
It will be July 18th.
To July 18th.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.